This is a Collider.com audio interview.
All of the marketing for this movie seems to be you and not the animation, from the TV spots to even the early teasers with you guys in costumes. What was the idea to make you front and center of the campaign?
Well, now I think it's most of the TV stuff features the animation. So the early thing was just really my idea to be silly. And what if you tried to make one of these types of movies live action? What a disaster would it be, you know? And so that was just something I thought of, and I convinced Jeffrey to pay for it. And you know, I said, let's make some trailers that are not what the movie really is going to be. Let's take some scenes from the movie and try and make them with giant, cheap plaster of Paris sets, you know? So.
And the TV Juniors on it?
The TV Juniors was... that was just another way of trying to... we weren't quite sure what we were going to do with those when we made them. We didn't know where we were going to put them. We thought this could be an internet thing. But NBC stepped up and they wanted them, so we sold it to them. But I had seen some other people do like online things of the making of the movie and doing like daily posts and blogs. Not blogs, but you know, streaming video of what the experience was. So I thought, let's do it, but let's, you know, just make it totally fake, you know.
And when you were sitting down and having that initial meeting with Steven Spielberg, and that the whole B-movie subject came up,
mm-hmm.
were there other topics that had come up, too, in terms of movie possibilities, and it just the B stuck, or what?
I was not... this was not a meeting, it was just a social dinner,
mm-hmm.
and it was an offhanded remark. Of something that I thought might be a funny comment, just, you know, in conversation to mm-hmm. at the dinner to make him laugh, you know.
So
I didn't think it was. I didn't want to make the movie. I wasn't. He's the one that thought it was a movie. I didn't think it was a movie.
And you don't argue with Steven Spielberg.
No, you don't.
Did you have any idea you'd be so hands-on with it? One and two. It's such a slow process for
mm-hmm.
somebody who's a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Did it just drive you insane?
Insane.
Yes.
Insane. You know. But then I started to just have to accept that this is what it's going to be, and. And I just slowly went through it, and then it got more. I got more and more involved, and that just. I said to my wife, "I said, why do I have to do everything this way? Why can't I find some other way that's not such torture, you know?" And she says that you do the same thing with a box of cookies, you know. You just have to eat the entire box until you're sick of it, you know. I always have to get in way over my head. I wish I could pull the throttle back somehow.
Sort of like that wire in France, flying across the...
Yeah. Mm. Why don't we do something totally insane in France? All right, why not?
Well, speaking of that, that difference between television and film, do you have an early memory of a cinematic experience of you going to the theater and seeing something on the big screen that shaped you creatively?
Probably as far as this kind of thing is mm-hmm. concerned, you know, Gulliver's Travels, I really loved when I was a kid. And I remember the excitement when you're a child, when you're small, the excitement of stories that play with scale. Like that. That was the first thing, and the only thing I remember from being a kid that really played with scale. I mean, there was always stories of giants when you were a kid, and I was always fascinated by those. I don't know why that interests us as humans, but this story is about scale in a lot of ways. And I know that kids like things that where everything is gigantic or everything is miniature, you know. So that was one of the things I thought this would be an interesting thing to play with. And the way the movie was made, actually, is it's actually shot in a camera. And, like, when you see Barry and he's big, and it's so skillfully done, nobody has ever, not one person has asked us, why does Barry seem so big? And it's because it's all done with camera angles. He's very close to the lens, and all the other things are far away, so that the scale seems kind of normal. But I know that kids like things that like Tom Thumb and you know, Mighty Mouse, or they because they're small, so they relate to that, you know. So that was a movie that I thought of a lot making this.
Thank you. Sure. That you wrote the script and you produced this film. You did the main characters voiceover. How much your idea in this film? It's like a stealing honey, the human stealing honey, I just would like to know the, how much your idea.
How much I what?
Your idea.
How much is your idea?
Oh, my idea.
Thank you for.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I don't know. I don't really keep a chart of those kinds of things. You know, a lot of people put a lot of ideas in. I kind of like to play the captain of the ship, and I decide what goes in and what stays out. You know, and I come up with stuff, and everybody comes up with stuff. But it's kind of like. You know, the Dick Van Dyke Show, you remember when they would write, there was the head writer, you know, and that's kind of the role I like to play. You know, like, I'm in charge of the gate of what gets in. And anybody can throw in anything they want. And there are ideas in the movie I think people in the office just threw in, you know, that they said things. The idea of calling the judge Bumbleton, you know, because so you'd kind of have an idea of how this trial's going to go, you know. So, I don't know. There's a lot of my stuff in there, though, but a lot of other people's stuff, too.
Did you visit a beekeeper and get stung in the nose?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Tell that story. What, were you just looking to see what the hives look like?
Yeah, I wanted to see what they do and what it looks like. And, you know, and this was some weird French guy who said, you know, well, you don't need to wear any of that protective equipment, you know. If you treat them, if you handle them in the right way, nothing that will go wrong. And of course, he didn't know what he was talking about. You know?
Between this and 30 Rock, this year has really been you getting back in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you? And do you sense there's a real demand for people to see you again?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think about those kinds of things. I just try and do whatever I'm doing as well as I can. I don't know. I can't tell.
But back in the spotlight for you? How's that been?
Oh, it's great. It's fine. You know, the ride that I had on the sitcom was so, it was so intergalactic to start off in something that was really intended to be a little boutique thing that became this other thing. It kind of, it's hard to match that, you know. We had, you know, we just captured the country probably in the last time it was even possible to do that. You know, I don't even know if it's possible anymore to do that because things have so fragmented just culturally and, you know, just portal-wise. It's I don't know if there'll ever be another show that can do what we did. So it all feels kind of familiar to me, to tell you the truth. You know, people say to me, you know, there's an old story that I like to tell about... Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe. I don't know if you've ever heard the story, where you know, they were married, and he's of course this baseball legend, and she's doing this USO performance on an aircraft carrier. She goes out, and you know what those shows used to be like. They would get the sexy Hollywood actress would go out to do some cheesecake number or something like that, and the guys go berserk. And so she comes off stage, and he's standing there waiting for her, and the guys are all cheering, and she says, "Joe, listen to that. Have you ever heard anything like it?" And he, of course, says, "Yeah, I have."
That's kind of like that.
So, you know, people say to me, "Boy, could you imagine what it would be like if this movie's a big hit?" You know? Could you imagine? I go, "Yeah, I can."
Besides the beekeeper, the token not to wear protective gear, what was the biggest challenge you faced making
the... The biggest challenge, frankly, was the story. I found that it's very difficult to sustain a comedy story for a full-length movie. And if you watch comedies, if you watch any movie, you know that people struggle with the resolution of the story. It's the most difficult part of a movie. But comedies in particular tend to run out of gas about two-thirds of the way through. And then you start to... They get into these romantic things, and you're kind of having fun as they get into the premise, and then figuring out how to resolve the whole story, it, you know, the guy, then he professes his feelings, and I really loved the girl next door all along, and, you know, and they go, well, what happened to the laughs? We were having so much fun, you know. But I was determined not to do that, and I struggled a long time to find a new, I had to create, you had to have to create something that's fun to end the movie, but to keep it silly and funny. So that was the thing that we had a lot of trial and error on until we finally figured that out.
That's a great sequence at the end.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about the casting and how much did you actually get involved? Did you end up making some of the calls to, like, Renee?
Oh, sure. Renee, I practically stalked.
Oh.
I mean, that was like, I was like the leopard in the weeds with Renee. I was just, I knew her whereabouts at all times, yeah. You know. She would go to a screening, I would somehow be there a couple of rows back, you know. Oh, Renee, funny bumping into you here again, you know. I wanted her very badly for this. I knew she was the perfect person to play this part.
Mm-hmm. Was it really that hard to get her?
You never know. She's very busy. She's very in demand. And there's really nobody else quite like her. Especially vocally, you know, there's a lot of great actresses, of course, but not all of them have this kind of vocal skill that she has. I mean, when she reads, the voice, like, just, it, like, comes right through the screen. You really, very quickly when you're watching this movie, you believe that this person is, the voice is really coming out of that dummy. It's a dummy, you know, the whole thing's a puppet act. You know, these aren't real people.
Where on earth did Ray Liotta come from? I laughed.
I'll tell you where it came from. I thought, who is the last person you would ever expect to see just waltzing into an animated movie as themselves? And it was Ray Liotta, you know.
Since Seinfeld, the dating landscape has changed so much. Could you imagine?
Really?
Yes.
You mean in terms of what?
Well, I was going to ask, what kind of episode could you imagine doing on stuff like text messaging that people send?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, we would have had fun with that. We definitely would have had fun with that. There's so many so much confusion. Anything where there's potential for confusion was always great for us. Comedy.
Could you imagine a stand-up bit on junkets? Like, why do they call it a junket?
Well, you know why they call it a junket. I mean, the first syllable tells you why. you know, unfortunately, no one could relate to this experience. Yeah, I wish they could.
When Barry's floating in the pool and his parents are telling him to get a job, was it the graduate?
Sure, yes, of course, yeah.
Nobody doesn't know. I go, yes, it is.
No, there was a time when I first conceived of the film that I was going to do a complete metaphor for The Graduate from all the way. And most of it we ended up losing. But that scene I still like so much. And I love that movie so much I left it in.
That's great.
We have time for one last question.
Was there ever a thought to making it a musical at all or having more musical?
There was. And it was a huge, very elaborate musical production number, which I ended up having to get rid of because it just seemed to throw off the plot drive at a crucial moment. But there's the song that Matthew and I did that's at the end of the credits. That's the only thing that remains.
Will that number be on the DVD?
Yes, it will. Okay. It will. It's not fully animated, but it will be on there.
Is this a more innocent character than you usually think?
Mm-hmm.
Not as cynical?
Yeah. It didn't start out that way, but that's another thing I learned, that movie audiences weren't liking me in that TV version. I had to kind of take some of the edge off because this is the way he looks, you know. He's younger and cuter than I am, and they didn't want him to be quite so nasty. He was nastier at a certain point of making this, and I had to kind of take that off.
Okay, thank you guys for your time.
Thank you all very much. Thank you. Sure.
Now that this is finished up, are you already thinking about the next thing?
No.
You think Stephen Colbert will appreciate the anti-bear message in this movie?
Why?
Oh, that's one of his bits. He hates bears.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's fine. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.